All right, I'm back. Sorry, it took me a minute. I had to go potty since we went long in the last call. Okay, this is the maintenance call. I'm going to get the title right this time. If you have 20 pounds to lose or less, or you are maintaining, you get to raise your hand and you get to get coached. We just finished an epic 2 hours on the other call. So right now, no one has their hand raised to get coaching. All right, Holly, thank you. Make sure that if you want to get coached, that you raise your hand, y'all. All right, Holly, you're up first. You can also type questions in the Q&A if you would like, y'all. All right, let's get you unmuted. Hey, Judith.
Hi,
Judith. Hello. All right. Well, we coach you.
All right. I'm getting a pedicure, so thank you for taking my call. okay. So I'm stuck. I have literally 3 pounds left to lose. And to that goal weight. Thank you. It'll be 25 total. And for some reason, there's something happening inside my head that I'm sabotaging myself or preventing myself from getting to that 3 remaining pounds. Like I want to stay in this goal mode or something. So I need
what
some help
is
there.
What are you doing? Like when you say I'm sabotaging, what does that look like?
I think that I can like, oh, it's only 3 pounds. That's easy. I can relax a little bit and I can always lose it later quicker because the other, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing? So when you say I can relax a little, what does relaxing look like?
Meaning like not tracking my food or just thinking I can kind of do to my head or maybe not staying as disciplined or not as disciplined as I was the first 22.
Okay. So what does not disciplined actually look like though? So I want you to see where I'm asking you, like, I want specific due line stuff. So one, you gave me one, which is when you say not tracking your food, what do you mean?
Not using the food log. So I was really
24-hour plan.
The 24-hour plan.
Okay. Yep. So you're not doing your 24-hour plan. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Like when you don't do your 24-hour plan, what's going on?
I think I just am not making any tweaks or changes and just am keeping, I've got it down to kind of a system of what I eat and how I exercise.
Do you need tweaks and changes? Or is there any overeating, eating past enough, mindless eating, eating off plan?
I think it's, eating off plan because I don't have a plan, but probably eating past enough again.
That's, all right. So that's eating been, past enough. Mm-hmm.
And what else? thought work. I think like this weekend, especially I've been in a kind of a tizzy because of something that's happening in my relationship. And I've just probably been doing fuck it eating.
What does fuck it eating look like to you?
Oh, I can have anything I want and as much as I want.
Are you hungry when you eat it?
Yes. I'm hungry when I eat it, but I eat past enough.
Okay. So a lot of eating past enough.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say anything I want, what are those things typically? Are they things you would normally plan? Or because you don't have a plan, it's just like, oh, let me have this.
It's because I don't have a plan. I'm like, well, I can have this.
Like, what is a this? Give me an example from this week.
I overate a lot of chips and salsa last night.
Okay. And do you normally plan chips and salsa? Like, would you have planned chips and salsa? Or was it just one of those things where I don't have a plan, so I'm going to have chips and salsa?
I would have planned it because I knew I was going to a Mexican restaurant. So I would have put it in my plan. Yeah.
Okay. So is there any... are there any times where like you're eating things that you normally wouldn't have planned? So like for me, for example, is if I don't have a plan, I might find French fries on my plan. Even though I normally will plan French fries, I probably wouldn't have planned it this time though, because I don't have a plan. That's what I'm asking. Mm-hmm. Is any of that going on?
I don't think so. I think it's just eating too much of what I would normally eat anyway.
Okay. So this is the one we want to focus on then. We're eating past enough. Mm-hmm. This is why we're not losing that 3 pounds. This is important because one of the things that you said was, I need to make the needed tweaks and stuff, as if you're on a stall. As if you're just hanging out at this 3 pounds or whatever. No, you're eating. You're overeating. Time to get back to not overeating. Time to do the work on why are we overeating. Mm-hmm. This is important because I'm writing the Stalls and Plateaus course right now. And this is a big lesson. I think it's in video 2 or 3. I can't remember which one I wrote. But very often, we don't ask the needed questions to figure out what's really going on. Like, the only thing you need to do to lose 3 pounds is we've got to dial in enough right now. I wouldn't care about even not doing your 24-hour plan, even though I know y'all are like, sacrilege. What are you talking about, Corinne? Here's what I'm talking about. We pick one thing we're going to work on. Right now, what you told me when we broke this down is that not doing a plan is not what's causing you to hang out with these 3 pounds. Eating past enough is, because even if you don't do a plan, you're pretty much eating habitual, like the new version of you.
Yep.
Okay. So eating past enough, we got to figure this out. And we already know the thought. What is the thought going on to eating past enough?
I've already lost so much weight. Just a little bit won't hurt.
So you need to hear that one when it comes loud and clear. Just a little won't hurt.
Or this once won't hurt. Or just this one meal isn't a big deal in the grand scheme of things.
Right. That's called diminishing the truth. We call it lying also. So we want to hear these thoughts. Your automatic brain is like, girl, we are good enough. Shit, it's 3 pounds. Ain't nobody on the station.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's expected. That's what we're supposed to be thinking. We're now supposed to be like, oh yeah, that's that bullshit my brain likes to think that doesn't get me to my goal. So when it comes up, my job is now to turn the volume up and be like, just a little won't hurt. I expected you. You're always going to come up. You're going to sound fun, but you're not fun, thought. And let me tell you why. Because I keep wanting to lose 3 pounds. And it's not fun to not lose my 3 pounds. So just a little is actually hurting me. And here's how it hurts me. I have to sit around every day and think about the 3 pounds I would like to lose. So for this meal, I'm going to set aside this little bit, because if just a little won't hurt, then not having a little won't be so bad to say no to either.
Yep.
The trick is for you is you got to listen for it and then talk about it in your head. Okay. We need to turn that back on.
Okay. Yes. I think it's not just letting that thought be on autopilot and not even recognize it, but now like really picking it up and knowing, oh, there's that thought. This is my prompt to leave 2 bites, or this is my prompt to not finish my plate. So maybe I can use it as a prompt versus like permission.
Yeah. I think this happens for everybody, no matter where they're at in their journey. We always are having these kinds of thoughts and stuff. And I think the problem that we run into is when we notice this is what we're thinking and we're like, and that's why I keep overeating. That is not why you keep overeating. You're overeating because you're not interrupting the thought. When it comes, we have to interrupt it. We have to remind ourselves like, oh yeah, new me thinks this way. this is old programming. This is what my brain will always want to say. And I'm not going to get mad about it. And I'm not going to like act like it's like just happening to me. Like that's a whole host of thoughts that we have about these things. So if you were to just look at our think, feel, do cycle. Almost missed my chair. That wouldn't be good. If you think about the think, feel, do cycle, there you have all your thoughts up here. A little won't hurt. This doesn't matter. Blah, 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 blah. This is our automatic negative thinking. There's some like dude that calls it ants. Ants are crawling all over your brain, right? Our thought is, you know, this is why I'm not making progress. Or this is just happening to me. Neither one of these thoughts feel really bad. My fly is undone. I hope y'all didn't see that. Let me zip my pants up.
I love the jeans though.
Thank you. And I was in there thinking, why is it so airy down there? Neither one of these thoughts, they don't really feel bad and they don't feel like heated when it comes to emotions, but they're not energetic in solving the problem of these. And that's the problem is that yeah. We're just sitting around almost just like we're just in the witnessing stage and we're just like, oh my gosh, there's a thought like, you know, what am I going to do with that and stuff? So we want to make sure it's like, if we're thinking this is why I'm not making progress or this is just happening to me about these thoughts, we want to shift it to glad I'm catching it. Time to redirect. Time to pivot. I knew this was coming. We want a thought that feels directional. These don't feel directional at all. These feel like apathetic.
Or excuses or yeah.
We can label them as an excuse, but I would just say like these just, they're just useless. And we kind of just sit like, y'all know how I always talk about that fainting couch. It's like, oh my God, automatic negative thought. Let me lay on my fainting couch and hope that someone comes and saves me. It's like, nobody's coming. Like, you're coming and you're going to come in with telling yourself how you want to think. So turn on the volume, turn the volume up on those. But I would for you just to get tactical about basically let's bust this stall that you're in, this holding pattern of being 3 pounds up is work on enough. That means working on the thinking around enough, work on focusing at stopping at enough, layer that in first.
Okay.
And really okay. do that. I would rather see you focus on that and do some journaling on that. If you want to start your 24-hour plan back up, you can. Y'all know me. I still do my 24-hour plan. I like to have my 24 plan. It just, for me, doing my 24-hour plan, first thing in the morning, kicks my day off. It turns my brain on to, oh, we are like healthy today. That's what we're doing. Oh, you know, like it does. It's like, it just does something to me. Puts me, it just gets my brain not going to like, well, you know, we don't even need to make a plan. It like, it just, you know, I want you to just think about if you're going to focus on something that'll move the 3 pounds or just decide, like, I really want to lose these 3 pounds. What is the worst that's going to happen if I go back to eating to enough and I make a plan each day?
Okay. I think that's it. I think it's just renewed focus and catching the thoughts. So thank you.
You're welcome. Well, enjoy that pedicure. Yeah.
Thank you. I am even all more. Right. Thank you. Bye. Friend. Bye.
Carolyn T. Do I recommend weighing weekly in maintenance? I recommend weighing as often as you want. Just so all of you know, the maintenance course will be releasing in July. So we will have a full dedicated maintenance course coming out in July. I start writing all the content for that in about, in 2 weeks from now. So we'll have that. But yeah, I for me, weighing in maintenance is about weighing as often as like you feel like you want to. For some people, there's some comfort in weighing more often, especially in the beginning. For some people, they don't want to. I would just decide, like, here's how often I'm going to weigh and like your reasons, and then commit to doing it. And don't sit around thinking you're going to do anything else. Like, you know, it's like, I should weigh more often. I should weigh less, blah, blah, blah. Like, if you weigh and shitty thoughts come up, take the scale course. Take the Conquering the Scale course and work on your shitty thoughts. Don't just stop weighing to avoid shitty thoughts, but just decide ahead of time, what do I really want to do with this? All right, Carolyn. Well, we coach. Hey.
Hi, Corinne. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Yes, I am excited to talk with you. So, let's see, a little bit of background is, a couple years ago, I saw Brooke somewhere. It must have been Facebook or something. And she had that lose 8 pounds in a month.
Yeah.
And I thought that could help me. Mm-hmm. Well, so I signed up. And then I didn't actually do the course. I just did scholars. And I didn't narrow things down. I didn't constrain. And then I think it was like November, December. I was like, I signed up to lose some weight. And I haven't lost a pound. I probably even gained more. And so last winter, I thought, I really do want to lose some weight. I want to feel more comfortable in my body. And so I started paying more attention and focused on losing some weight. And now I have lost over 20 pounds.
Good for you.
Yeah. And I thought, okay, I want to get to 110 and see where I'm at with 110.
Okay.
And it may be that I want to lose like 3 or 4 more pounds. I'm small. I'm short.
Okay.
So it's not like I'm skin and bones. But I haven't really done your program. I haven't even done No BS. I joined in March, but I've been listening to you every Sunday.
Okay.
Since I figured out you're here. I'm in the middle of a kitchen remodel. And so life is craziness.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have 2 businesses. So anyway, so I'm trying to figure out what am I doing now? And I thought I would give myself like 4 weeks just to, okay, you arrive to your goal.
Okay.
And celebrate that.
Yeah.
But I really like that, like Brooke, it's the no sugar, no flour. It's like, I mean, sugar is the thing for me, but I did learn to when my brain says, oh, a little more would be a great idea, mm-hmm. to say, yeah, it's actually not a good idea.
That's what we were talking about in that, like that last person is like, all right, the hidden, like when you write about that and you journal about it, it sets you up when those thoughts come in to have like a, also to have some thoughts that you've prepared ahead of time that your brain can easily access.
This is what I'm posting on my bathroom wall or mirror and maybe by the sink too, because I want to get it in my brain more. Growing my AU muscle. AU means allowing urge muscle.
Okay.
This is the magic time right now. This is my special time when I have the opportunity to grow my allowing urge AU muscle. My AU muscle is getting stronger and stronger. I'm thankful for my new path. And that kind of means with you,
mm-hmm.
and all of it. I know this urge will pass in a little time. I accept the urge and just let it be. I can get curious. How does it feel? Where do I feel it? Mm-hmm. How long does it last? I can put a marble in the vase and see my progress. So many times I've been successful with growing my AU muscle. You've got this. You've totally got this, love. You're in the urge gym now. it's time to work out now. Because it's really easy at 10 o'clock in the morning or right now to say, I'm not going to have more chocolate right now because I don't even really want chocolate. I just want more coffee. But it after dinner is when that's very different. So the last part is what I really want. Feeling comfortable in my body again, which I do feel, and that's amazing. I love having my body back. This is what I want more than a brief, temporary, sweet pleasure. Okay. Feeling good. What's up?
I'm just agreeing with you.
Feeling good in my body and with my body, I have it with me everywhere, all the time.
Yeah. So what do you want to work on since you're here?
Yeah. Well, that's my question is, since I did this without really doing, I mean, I think it would be good. And I just joined an accountability group and I just told them I'm going to start doing the course.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I need to make a whole plan, like everything I'm going to eat, or if I should just focus on the after dinner and dessert.
You get to choose. So, you know, like, I feel like today's like sacrilege day. I'm like throwing all these things out here like, you've never said this. You always say, but this is the thing. There's no one way to do anything, including no BS. There is the way that you will choose to execute things that in this moment feel right, feel doable, and that work for you. That is the way weight loss works. Now, the way that I present it in No BS, I present a formula. Like, you know, when you make your 24-hour plan and you do these things, blah, blah, people will lose weight when you do these things. That doesn't mean that it has to be like brick and mortar done that way, because there's always unique circumstances. There's always unique things going on, right? So I think for you, I would definitely take the No BS course to just listen and solidify some of the things that you're already right on target with. There's a lot of urge work in there that will reinforce what you're doing. There'll be some things that I present in a different way than you've already learned over in Scholars, that learning it in two different ways and two like different like voices and everything may help it click even better. Because you never know when you're going to hear similar content presented in different ways. We're like, oh, it makes more sense when it's told this way versus this way. The other thing is just so that you know the basics, because I don't do no sugar or flour here. Like, that's not something that we teach. It is one of those things where I tell people, if it works for you, do it, but we still run the basics behind it. Like, to me, no sugar, no flour, that's what goes on your 24-hour plan. I just tell people, I want you to choose to eat the way that you want to eat in a way that you want to live your life. Some people want to live their life with no sugar, no flour. Some people want to live keto. Some people want to live with all the things. Some people want to live Mediterranean style. Some people want to live vegan. Like, there's no one way to do it. So I would take no BS and I would go through that. And then if you're really working, since you're hitting maintenance, if you do no BS throughout this month, what is this month?
May.
Yes. Okay. What month are we in? If you do no BS this month, and then next month, there is a class called Urges 2.0, since you're really working on strengthening your urge muscle and stuff, which I love the way that you talked about it. I would take Urges 2.0 in June, while we're all doing stalls and plateaus, because you don't need that one. You can still come to the Sunday calls and stuff, but you'll be taking that while we take this. That's the nice thing about the self-study resources, is that they're very Lego style. You can just kind of build your, it's like choose your own adventure around here. But in July, I think you should take the maintenance course that we're doing. And I think you should do it with all of us that are going to be going through the maintenance course. I think it'll be powerful for you, because it will really help you lock in your new identity. It will help you figure out, we're going to create a special maintenance planner that's similar but different than the No BS plan 60-day planner. So I think that that would be helpful. That will give you this month, next month, and July, like a solid plan that will help you really feel like, okay, like I'm doing the work around here.
That sounds really good. That sounds really good. I want to tell you something else that I've done.
Okay.
For a long time, I didn't know what people meant when they said, well, you need to love yourself. And then one time I heard this coach, he was on Oprah. And this was a long time when Oprah had an afternoon TV show. And she said, you know, even if I say something stupid, I'm just going to love myself anyway. Because she was nervous about being on Oprah and millions of people seeing her. And that just something clicked in my brain. And I transferred that to before I get on the scale in the morning, no matter what the scale says, I'm going to love myself anyway. Okay. So that was really helpful. I don't know if it helps other people, but it helped me a lot.
I think it's great. And if you ever need to do it, don't forget, we do have the brand new Conquering the Scale course. You or anyone that is this, like the Conquering the Scale course, the way I laid the content out for the summer was I knew that not only did we need it, but if we were going to be staging stalls and plateaus and maintenance, we really had to talk about the scale, because stalls and plateaus, we know we're on them because we're weighing, and maintenance, getting on the scale is very different in maintenance than when you're losing. You lose the dopamine fast in maintenance. It's like, you're so proud of yourself for losing your weight. You're so excited in the beginning. But then after a few weeks of just weighing the same all the time or noticing it just wiggling, it kind of becomes a mindfuck. You don't get the dopamine off of it anymore. It's like you keep seeing the same number over and over again. Your brain is not like, hell yeah. Your brain is like, oh yeah, there it is again. This is what you weigh now. You know, it's fine. It's like fun at first, but as anything, your brain adapts. And it just like goes down and down and there's no more hits. And when you're used to getting a hit off the scale, not getting that anymore means you got to get a hit somewhere else, or you're going to figure out a way to sabotage yourself so you can go back to losing so that you can get those hits again and feel good about yourself. So we're going to talk all about that in maintenance. But if you, anybody who struggles a little bit with the scale, take the Conquering the Scale course for sure. Well, thank you. And welcome.
Thank you, Corinne. I love you so much.
Thank you. All righty. Bye. Let me just, I've been like rolling out a lot of information and some of y'all came in a little late. We're rolling out a maintenance program in July. It will be a good program. I'm writing it myself. There will also be a maintenance planner that goes with it. So we are going to figure out a new planner for y'all that you can print. It will not be where we will have it printed and stored. You'll have to print it yourself. Fulfillment centers are a bitch right now. So we're not going to add anything to the mix, but I figure that y'all will figure out how to get it printed or put it in your good notes, like on your iPads if you want to. Mara? The maintenance program will also be good for people to take, even if you're still actively losing your weight. Hey.
Oh, my God.
How are you? Hi.
Okay. All right. So I may be a hot mess, but it's okay. I'm going to get through it. All right. What I want coaching on today is the thought process with emotional eating in response to stress and my perfectionistic brain that will turn all of what you call my shitties. I call them my Ursula thoughts, because mm-hmm. Ursula is just this big thing. And mm-hmm. being able to, I've had a whole bunch a year ago, my mom passed away. And then when I went to run in Disney, my husband got very sick when I was there and almost died.
Okay.
And then coming home and dealing with all of that, taking care of me. I mean, God, I've lost 110 pounds with you. I started by just listening to the free stuff and just taking it all in. And I didn't join until 2 years later. And it was the best thing I ever did. And just my weight has kind of stalled. Okay. And I'm so glad the stalls and plateaus course is coming out, because I got to sink myself into that. But I don't know whether I need a whiplashing or just something to just, I got, I'm not happy where I am. I still just have a little bit more to lose.
Okay.
But the scale's not moving. And the other thing too is I unfortunately turned to exercise more I turned to food too with the emotional eating piece, but I also turned to exercise to kind of relax myself to be able to deal with all of this. So trying to,
why do you think that that's a problem?
Well, because my trainer thinks I overwork myself.
Okay. So I just, that's why I wanted to like clarify, because over-exercise to escape. Some people, like for me, there are some days where I have a tough day and I will go work out, because for me, I'm like, this is how I take care of myself. Like, yeah. I just want to get some space away. I want to put on my booty jams. I want to like lift some weights, or I want to go for a walk, or I want to go for a run. But if we're doing it from a place of, I can't deal with my life, and like I only feel good when I'm exercising, then it makes sense that we would exercise too much if we're giving it too much credit and not dealing with what's going on. So let me ask you this. Like, what do you think is the major problem you're having right now? If you had to sum it up in a sentence, what would it be?
I think it's twofold. It's everyday stress, but I'm also still on that wheel of losing my mom. My mom was my best friend. We're two peas in a pod. And I'm also working on that separately too. So I think it's being able to relearn not having somebody there, you know, to go to. I'm my own, I'm depending on myself now, and to be there, to show up for myself and to be my own cheerleader and just trying to.
But those are lovely thoughts. I don't think you're in a problem place. I think you're just missing your mom.
Well, that too, but like stress, like if stuff goes wrong at work and the candy jar literally is right outside on my shelf at school, and I take a candy and it's like the first quote, like one's not going to hurt. And then.
And so what are you going to tell yourself when that thought comes up? Remember, you're always going to think that. The problem isn't that thought. The problem right now is that you're not intervening with it and you're not hearing it fast enough.
Mm-hmm. So what I think when I take it is like, this is going to help me. This is going to get me through the day. This is going to.
So what are you going to tell yourself? Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Is it helpful?
No. Because my future self says, no, that's not going to get you to where you want. But then Ursula says, ha ha, but this is what's going to pacify you and get you through the day.
Yeah. Well, Ursula's wrong. You've got to be like, this is the thing. Ursula, old chitty, whatever y'all want to call them. They're coming along for the ride of life.
Right.
You know when Ursula will be quiet?
When?
When you go to the pearly gates. She's going to hell, you're going to heaven. Right. You two will then split paths for the rest of eternity. Until that time, y'all are ride or die partners.
Oh boy.
But this is what I was talking about here. Ursula is your aunt. They're all the same. Old shitty, automatic negative thinking, Ursula.
Okay.
You've got to have better thoughts about Ursula. Like, I'm in control of her. She doesn't control me. She has a lot to say. I can keep on talking back. Mm-hmm. Like right now your thought is, but she says this, Corinne. Like that's a problem. And I'm like, well, it's not a problem as long as you keep countering her. It's when you quit counting her and start saying like, well, she's the one in control.
Yeah, she's right.
This is going to make my day better.
She's also part of that perfectionistic person. Well, you're never going to get there anyway. Or
right, so when you think, when Ursula thinks you're not going to get there, you know this, Mara.
Mm-hmm.
What's the truth?
I am going to get there because I've already done 3/4 of the work. like my,
and when
my
you journey. Think, when you say that, how are you feeling in your body right now? Like, tell me, what do you feel? Cause you look very convicted.
Well, I guess I, part of me feels very good and very solid mm-hmm. in my body right now. But then there's also this part of me that still doesn't like my body where it's at.
Yeah, that's fine.
And it's just,
I've been in maintenance for 15 years. There's a part of me that doesn't like where my body's at either. I just don't use it as excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way that you're talking about all this, like, well, here's my excuse. That's why I'm eating Corinne. You know, I got an Ursula. Well, you know, like even if I counter her, you know, she says things back. Well, you know, I also have lost like 110 pounds and I don't like my body. Did I tell you that part? Like Corinne, I have all the reasons for all these overeats. And I'm saying like, those are not reasons to overeat. Those are thoughts. Those are things that we need to like on paper, run through them daily, not when we feel like it.
Yeah, that's on my plan this week to journal those thoughts. That was one of part of my weekly plan to put on there.
And I want you to run through them with that 4N process. I talked about it 5,000 times in the last call. I mm-hmm. believe it's in conquering the scale. I think we've got calls on it. If you go to the video replays and search it, I think we dropped it as a quick hit this Friday. It is stinking up the place inside of No BS. You can't miss it. But I want you to do that. I want you to like look at each one of them. It would be very normal. It's normal to have an Ursula. We all have one.
Right.
It's also normal for you to miss your mom. That's not a problem to solve.
Yeah. Yeah. It's difficult some days, especially today, but you know, it's.
She was your best friend.
Yeah. Yep.
This is what we want to tell ourselves though.
And I just have to say this. When I first started my journey with you, my end goal or what I had thought about is before my parents leave this earth, they're going to see me happy and healthy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had my surgery and everything and in November and I was able to see her too. And then she died in February. So, you know, I have all the reasons to be happy and excited and energized, but just the thoughts are just sometimes just so mind boggling, you know?
That's where I want you to make sure that you do the journaling because they won't be so mind-boggling if every day you give yourself the gift of today, I'm thinking these things and they feel stressful. And then you can go through each one and be like, all right, I'm going to run a few of the ones that feel particularly stressful or particularly true. I want to just run them through the 4 N's.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, like it's normal to miss my mother. It's yeah. normal for some days to be harder than the others. Like when you do that, you don't need to run to food. You're giving yourself what you need in the moment, which is understanding and compassion. When it's just like, I miss my mom. This is terrible. This is why I keep eating. You know, like when thinking about my mom is stressing me out. And this is why I keep eating. Like Ursula keeps coming back and eating candy and blah, 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 blah. When you think about it that way, yeah, you're going to eat. Because you're not giving yourself space, compassion, understanding, a breath.
And loving myself, which is still very difficult some days to just. So,
and I would just tell myself some days it's hard. Some days are harder than others to love myself, but I'm learning.
Yeah.
Because here's the truth, Mara. If some days are harder than others, that means that there's some days that it's happening.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. There are days that it's happening. I'm on point, but I, and like I said, it's just the stress sometimes just,
That's the way stress works.
So
we don't always get to control. Like the thing about our automatic thinking and stuff like that, when it comes to the circumstances of life, this isn't like a dam where we get to decide when we like open and close the floodgates. They just start happening. Then it's our job. I heard this quote this morning. I was doing a Peloton run and I cannot remember. I think it was Susie Chan who I was running with. She said something so interesting. She said, sometimes in life, we have to remember that when we can't control the circumstances, we can control how we treat ourselves through them.
Yep.
And I thought that was very powerful to be thinking about, like, sometimes, you know, shit's going to happen. You're going to be stressed. Like, the feelings are all going to come in. But that's in that moment where you get to remind yourself, when everything feels so out of control, feels so stressful, it's like, well, the one thing I know I can control is how I treat myself in this moment. Am I treating myself with candy or am I treating myself with compassion? Because candy's not compassion. Candy's just eating. Right. It's not wrong. It's not bad. It's not anything, but it's not compassion.
Right.
It's a distraction.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you. And I want to tell you, I am doing the no BS DSB virtually here in New Hampshire.
Awesome.
So I can't wait. But then next year, the following year, I'm coming to Nashville.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you so much. I just shot
the finish and start line videos this week. Yeah. And I recorded some more of y'all's daily podcast fires this morning. So
awesome. I can't wait.
You keep going. Thank you
so much. I will.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Elodie? You have to tell me how I'm saying your name. I just want to make sure I'm not butchering it.
Hi. Great. First time.
All right.
I'm so happy.
What are we catching on?
Well, I enrolled the 21st of April, and it's my first call I attend in life. So I'm so happy. Thank you very much. And I'm French.
Here.
So, what's happening is I followed also the No Flour, No Sugar of Brooke in the Life Coach School 1.5 years ago. And it was incredible. And I didn't even want it specially to lose weight. I wanted to quit eating chocolate on the evening, but it appeared that I lost all the weight that I gained years before quitting smoking. And then it was so amazing that 3 months later, I thought, because I lost something, well, it's in kilo, so it's almost a double. It's something like 16 pounds in 2 months. It was just incredible. And then I thought, oh, it's amazing, this coaching thing. I'm going to quit my e-cigarette. So smoking my e-cigarette. And I did more than 1 year ago. But then I started to eat again. Like a little thing here, a little thing there. And then it's 1 year now that I'm trying to lose this weight now that I want, that I regain it all. And that I'm at the moment, for 1 year, getting mad that I don't.
Okay.
So friend of mine, because I also got certified last year in Scholar, who met you in Austin 1 month ago, said, well, but because Corinne is so amazing and everything, so I listened to you, I recorded, I enrolled in your free course. And in fact, I thought that I finally started to really understand, but in myself, not just intellectually speaking, what maybe does it mean to start being nice with yourself? And so I enrolled. And so I'm there for 2 weeks. So what do I want coaching on is, what's happening? In fact, so I do the plan. I do everything in my no BS and everything. Perfect. Well, I mean, like really everything, journaling and everything every day, answering all.
So you would be a deep dive diva.
Yeah, kind of. But it's my first call, so that's why I would say I'm not.
That's okay. But you're doing the work. That's a deep dive diva right there. This anybody's got sticky notes and paper clips and papers.
I do all of it for sure. But what I still I mean, don't do somehow. It's always the same. I do my plan and everything. And then 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, or three or five, it depends. And then, I mean, I give in to my urge. I'm sorry if I don't say it properly. And then I'm going to eat chocolate, whereas, or I didn't plan for it, or I'm not hungry anymore. Sorry. Okay. And so what changed with your way, which was incredible, was to dare writing things on my plan that my dieting mind think, well, you can't put this on the plan. So yeah, I can. So I did the first week and it was amazing just to write it. I was afraid, but I did it. Yeah. And to stick to the plan. And in fact, I mean, sticking to the plan and doing the plan and everything is not so difficult. But suddenly when I take off the things like chocolate or things like, I mean, sweet things, then it becomes difficult. And then not every day, but I don't know, something, it's just 2 weeks. So something like each 3 days or each 4 days, I see myself eating it. And I'm still processing my urges and trying to put the bit and everything. But I mean, I do it once, twice, three times, and then I eat. And then I'm really angry at myself thinking, but what is it that I don't understand?
That's the part we got to change first. So this is the most frustrating part for people when they're dealing with urges. You're like, no, tell me how I'm going to just not do that anymore.
Yeah.
We have to quit getting angry at ourselves, because when you're angry at yourself, like when anger is on the feeling line, what we end up doing is beating ourselves up. We're not investigating. We're not thinking things through. We're not encouraging ourselves on a new idea for tomorrow. We're not sitting around thinking about, maybe I just need more time with this to adjust to following it.
Yeah. Yeah. I lose my best part of my brain and I still know it, but I still do it.
What part, when you say I know it, I mean, still do it, what do you mean by that?
What I mean, I lose my how do you call it? You don't call it prefrontal cortex or whatever. You call it
mother brain. Conscious
brain. Of course, because if I'm irritated or disappointed at myself, I mean, I'm not able anymore to be calm and to just be curious at what's happening. So I calm down. I get my system nervous down. Not down, but I mean the temperature down. And then I do my worksheet in the discovery worksheet in the
Like you'll do a few days of eating your chocolate and stuff and then you start taking it off. What is your thought that removes chocolate and stuff from your plan?
Ah, so when I take it off the plan, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, it's they're different, but things like, yeah, you keep eating too much chocolate. Because instead of eating, for example, 2 square, I'm going to eat 6 or, and then I try to make myself think, well, take it off and then you won't eat it.
But yeah.
2 days I'm going to do working. And the Thursday.
So I'm that's called black and white thinking. Well, it's like, well, I'm not going to work on learning how to eat this like a normal person. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do binge and restrict behaviors. It's like, if I plan it, I overeat. If I don't plan it, I won't eat any. Like there's no middle. The middle is to plan it. Notice that you're overeating it. Don't beat yourself up over it. But also the goal isn't to get to where you never eat chocolate again. Like tell me what you think. What do you want your relationship with chocolate to be?
Oh, but I don't want never eating chocolate anymore. I would like to be, and food in general. There is no food that I would like to stop forever.
Exactly.
What I would like is to be
the way that you're doing it though, if the goal is I want to be able to just have I want to be able to say I'm having chocolate and I eat 2 squares and I follow through. Like I just want to be the kind of person that says I'm going to do what I say, what I'm going to do with food. If that's the version of you want to be, you can't cut out chocolate. They contradict each other.
I mean, just I listen to you. It's just, I know it's important because then my brain is, what is she saying? So like, I don't understand what you're saying. So
that if you want to be the kind of person that controls themselves around food,
yeah,
you can't get there by being the kind of person who takes food away from herself because she's afraid or overreacting.
Yeah.
They're very different people.
So what you mean is, in fact, I have to keep it in my food plan, like I did the first week, which I found it incredible. I mean, it was incredible to write things down. But then when I started two or three times to overeat it, I thought, oh my gosh, I start again. So I have to take it off.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem thought.
Yeah.
When I'm overeating it, chocolate's the problem. So I should get rid of chocolate.
Yeah, right. It's my soul.
Chocolate is not chocolate didn't sit there and be like, oh, you planned two squares. And then four more guys came along and said, fuck that. I'm jumping in your mouth. And they just ram right themselves in. They don't have legs. They don't have that power. And they can't even sweet talk you. They don't even have a mouth or a brain. So chocolate is not the problem. But you're making chocolate the problem by taking it away. We want to be very clear what the problem is. The problem right now, as it stands, is I'm learning to be someone who plans two squares and eats two squares. I'm currently the kind of person who plans two squares, sometimes eats two squares, sometimes eats six squares.
Exactly.
So what do I need to do to get to be the person that eats two squares? The answer is not restrict chocolate for the rest of my life. The answer is not make chocolate a problem. The answer is, oh, what do I tell myself when I'm eating two that raises my desire for more?
So things like, oh, one more, like the first person said, because I wrote them down, one more won't change anything. Which is obviously, and I wrote what you explained because of like, it doesn't hurt, she says. And you say, yeah, it hurts. It's hurting. And I wrote it down because I said, oh my gosh, that's my thought. So, and that's one of them. Or, yeah, but when I'm thinking about it, it's just a little piece. It's 85%. It's not so bad. You know, it's healthy food.
And this is the thing. We don't want to villainize chocolate. We're like, yeah, it's not so bad to have chocolate. But we stop at two pieces. It's also not so bad to just stop at two pieces because we get it every fucking day if we want to plan it. Like, that's the conversation we have to start having. We have to have a new conversation with chocolate, not chocolate's a problem because I'm overeating it. Chocolate's so powerful. I need to just get rid of it. And maybe if I get rid of it long enough, then one day I'll be able to eat it again because I'm going to be this new person. It's like, no, you're going to be a thinner version of you who thinks chocolate still has control. And then the first time you eat chocolate, guess what? You've never changed your mind on chocolate. You're going to be sitting there eating it like a nervous asshole.
This is exactly what happened.
Yeah. So it's boring as this sounds to all of you, y'all have got to listen to this chatter that you've got, like a little won't hurt, like all of that stuff. Start listening for it. And when you hear it, your job is to notice what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. Tell yourself, I knew this thought was coming. I've done discovery worksheets. I get coached on it. I read somebody in the Facebook and thought, I think just like her, whatever it is. Know these thoughts ahead of time. And when they come, you just tell yourself, like, I knew this was one of those excuses that I would start using. This is not true. And here's how I know it's not true. When I was writing in my journal, I already disproved them all. Like, I already know a little will hurt, a little hurts. My ability to lose weight a little bit encourages my brain tomorrow to ask for even more. A little bit, every time I eat a little bit more, I'm just strengthening that thought to come back unchallenged every time. Now I got to strengthen that thought coming up with me challenging it, not me just eating because of it.
I don't know what you're waiting. I mean, I understand completely what you're telling me, and it makes completely sound. I mean, sound, not, it makes not sound, it makes sense. Sorry, sense. The word. Mm-hmm. Sense. And yeah, I hear the, because I have to hear the thoughts, mm-hmm. because to feel, I mean, to feel the urge, to process it, to allow my brain to hear it, to be able to write it down and to make a model in the think, feel, do cycle and everything, I have to. But then I do a worksheet. Tomorrow I'm going to do a worksheet, or in 3 days when I start again, and I never stop. And so, in fact, what I'm thinking, listening to you, is the part I'm missing until now, is accepting to really, I mean, to keep on the two pieces, for example, if it's two pieces I decided, and then explaining to myself as long as I need that, no, it's, this sentence is like the sentence, I mean, the aunt, what that you said. Mm-hmm. And now that I can't let myself keep thinking, well, it won't hurt. Yeah, it will hurt. So now you stop at two. But to do this in a nice way, speaking nicely and kind and compassionate, yes. way, without being an asshole, as you say, yes. is the most difficult part. So
yes, it's a, like, this is, I think, one of the a way to think about it. When your automatic thinking comes in, when old shitty comes in, we want to have a dialogue.
Yeah.
Like, we're having a conversation with old shitty. We're just like, I know you think this, you're just wrong. Like, and I know you're wrong because of these things. Here are some tactics you can try to get more consistent. One is, one of the people in the chat mentioned, sometimes, like, if you're eating six, we now just start planning six. And you're like, I'm going to plan six pieces, and I'm going to eat them real consciously. Like, I'm going to sit down at the table. I'm not going to eat them where I normally eat them, but I'm going to purposely overeat them so that the other part of my brain will now get triggered. The automatic part of your brain that wants to lose weight will come up and say, you cannot lose weight eating six pieces of chocolate. And you want that's the version that we want to be coming up automatically. Sometimes we just need to tripwire it. And so you start eating the chocolate in super discomfort. And then when your brain is sitting there like, oh my God, there's no way you're going to lose weight eating six pieces of chocolate. You're like, you're right. I'm going to put it away. Two is probably about where I need to be. That kind of, like, sometimes that can interrupt the cycle and make it work. Especially when we're overeating it. Now, y'all don't do this and say, like it's got to be intentional when you do it. It can't just be, I'm going to now plan to eat five pieces of pizza. And then when my brain says you can't lose weight eating like this, you're not going to go into rebel modes like, that's bullshit. I can eat whatever I want. Corinne said in the no bit, blah, blah, blah. Don't misuse what I'm saying. Think about what I'm telling you. Your rational brain, is it Elodie? How do you say your name?
Elodie.
Yeah. Your rational brain is saying two is probably about where we need to be in order to lose weight. And that's about where we need to be to live our life, being able to have chocolate, enjoy ourselves. And that's who we want to be. We want to be that kind of person. So what we want to do is we want to agree that we're working towards being that version of ourselves. And so if you're going to plan to eat the six, we do not want to eat it like sitting on the couch with Netflix. We literally want to go and sit like at a table. We want to look at them. We're gonna be like, and we're going to have six. This is what eating six consciously without excuses looks like, without sexy talk looks like. And then you start eating them. And then your brain, there's also a subconscious part of your brain. There's also some automatic thinking that will come up that will be like, this is bullshit. Like, girl, what you said two would help us lose weight. Like six, that's too much, blah, blah, blah. That's the goal part of your brain now speaking up. The rational part is like, this does not make sense. And we want it to not make sense. We don't want overeating to keep making sense anymore. And we don't want to overcorrect by saying, now we can't have it. The food is the problem. So I'm taking it all away. You're never taking it away again. What you're doing is you're redefining how you have it. That takes time. But when you take things away, your brain remembers that. And so when you're reestablishing, probably what's going on in your brain right now is it, and this will be in next month's Stalls and Plateaus course, this concept, but your brain remembers every time you restricted and took things away from you. And it left an imprint of, that sucks. I don't like that. Like, and it was bad for these reasons. And you probably felt deprived at times and you felt FOMO. Like you had all these things that happened. Your brain doesn't want you to feel that way. And so anytime you take it away, it's going to want to overcorrect. And so when you start just planning it, it wants to overeat it. Even if you have it on your plan, even if it makes sense that you're having to, even if you've done all the thought work, it's still going to send up all that fear-based thinking first. It's just trying to save you heartache, but it doesn't understand that we're doing it new this time. And it takes time for you to be like, but this is a new way. I'm never taking food away from you again. You got to promise yourself, if you're going to be the kind of, like all of you, especially you maintenance girls, if you want to be the kind of person that can have anything, like be able to have a life where all food and all things are on the table, but you're eating them when you're hungry, you're eating them to enough, you're thoughtful about when you do it, you're planning and stuff. If you want to be that version, you have to promise yourself, I will never take the food away ever again. I will never make food my villain ever again. Your body needs to trust you on that in order for it to start acting in a trustful way.
Really? I mean, I was going to say thank you, because it makes me want to cry when I hear you saying you have to promise yourself you will never take food again, I mean, far from you. Yeah. And it happened already. I mean, that when I was trying to find out, to understand, that I just collapsed in tears on the morning trying to do my plan. And I didn't even understand why I was crying or whatever. I thought, but what's happening with me? What's wrong with me? I mean, so... And especially because during 10 years, I could eat whatever I wanted without taking 1 pound. Mm-hmm. And in this moment, I ate a lot of chocolate and everything. But I mean, I never had this kind of thing thinking, oh, I have to eat 6 when I just want 2, because I wanted 2, I ate 2, and I didn't think about anything. It's now that I'm thinking, oh my God, how do I do this again? But I mean, really, because thank you, because when I hear about it and it's you saying it, I mean, I can trust you. So my brain can trust you and can think each morning planning. Yeah. Corinne said you can put it in the plan. It doesn't mean I have to overeat it. Of course, you don't say this, but well, don't take it away from you. Don't activate your like trauma brain, because you're going to get mad and then you will never get where you want. And even if you get there, you will get miserable on your way. So there's no way. I mean, there's no sense to do this. So thank you very much. I mean,
you're welcome.
Explanation.
Where are you from?
I'm from France. I'm in Bordeaux, southwest of France.
Your accent is gorgeous.
Oh, it's terrible. I'm sorry. I'm ashamed sometimes, but well, thank you very much.
No, I've enjoyed talking to you.
All right, I will do it again. Thank you very much. Bye.
I want to say to all of you, we're going to wrap up because I've been going now for over 3 hours and I still got to finish that script because I'm filming on Tuesday. So if you had questions and we didn't get to you, if you will take them over to the 20 pounds and maintenance group, just take them over there and post them. We will help you. If you don't want to post it in the Facebook group and you want to post it and ask coaches, we will help you. But I want to say this about being emotional about it. It is still emotional for me. I think what it brings up for us is we are just not taught to lose weight caring for ourselves. We are taught to lose weight to fix ourselves because we're not good enough. We are beat down by the diet industry. Like, I just remember so many times y'all are going to hear some of these stories in these classes of, you know, trainers telling me you did it wrong. What's wrong with you? It's very personal. And so when we are going to tell ourselves, I'm taking care of you now, like I am going, I will never hurt you like I have in the past. There is a part of you that like weeps on the inside. Like, I have been waiting all my life for you to treat me this way. And it is emotional. So I don't want y'all thinking something's weird with you or anything like that. It is emotional. This is why so many of us who fear crying or we fear big emotions, why we shy away from this part. We're so used to being negative to ourselves. We're not used to all the emotion that comes with finally liking ourselves. So there you go. All right, maintenance girls, y'all take care. I'm not sure when our next call is, but for sure we'll be spending time together in July during my birthday month because we will be doing the maintenance course. Y'all have a good one. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.